Nothing stops a bullet like a job. It's the slogan of Homeboy Industries in L.A. It helps young men leave behind gang life. When Father Gregory Boyle started Homeboy 25 years ago, he had no idea its largest service would be tattoo removal. Volunteer doctors erase some 800 tattoos a month.
You know, it began really with a guy with a very alarming tattoo spread across his forehead. Can't say the whole thing, but it's F the world is what he had plastered on his billboard size on his forehead. And he said, you know, I'm having a hard time finding a job. I said, well, maybe we can put our heads together on this one. And then he was exactly the person who began the search. So because of this guy, Frank, who was 2 days out of Corcoran State Prison, I went and I found a doctor who gave me 1 hour a month, a dermatologist. And then pretty soon I had a waiting list of like 3,000 gang members. So I couldn't really continue with that kind of arrangement. So yeah. We finally bought a machine and now we have three.
And it is not a simple matter, is it, to take a tattoo off? It's 1 hour a month probably wouldn't do it even for what he had plastered across his forehead.
Yeah, you know, it usually takes about 6 to 8 treatments to remove a good size tattoo. So it just little by little it erases it and it grows fainter with each treatment. But in the end, you know, Frank, by the way, is now a security guard at a movie studio, and there's no trace left of the angriest/dumbest moment in his life etched across his forehead. So proving that we're all a whole lot more than the dumbest thing we've ever done.
Now, a lot of the people you deal with at Homeboy Industries are talking about gang tattoos. And in that case, I imagine that's a little bit different from removing a stupid slogan from your forehead.
Yeah. Yeah, because then you're sending a signal to friend and foe alike that I'm about to redefine who I am in the world. And this gang activity and dynamic is not something that I want to define me anymore. So you're telling enemies, I don't play this, but you're also telling friends that, I don't really want any part of this anymore.
I'm just curious because I know so little about this. Was the tattoo originally a badge of honor, or was it something foisted on them?
Well, you know, again, it's all in the confusion of gang allegiance anyway. This is about a lethal absence of hope. This is about kids who can't imagine a future. So no kid is seeking anything when he joins a gang. He's always fleeing something. So the tattoo represents a life that's in chaos. And for all our legitimate desire to make sense of it, it doesn't make sense because it comes from a place that's below reason. So it's a language of a real bleak imagining that kids who, in the end, on some level, are planning their funerals and not their future. So that's where tattoos fit in.
Yeah. Well, I was thinking again about the tattoos. We're talking about tattoos this hour on our program, and there's a lot of pain involved in getting a tattoo. There's a lot of pain involved in getting it removed. I wonder if having made the decision, having done this, whether there isn't something almost spiritual about the act of going through that pain of removal.
Well, in the early days, you know, we could only afford to, in terms of time and allocation of the free tattoo removal, we'd always say elbow down, neck and face. That was our kind of mantra. And then I remember once a homie lifted up his shirt and stretching across his chest was, you know, the name of his gang. And I said, gosh, you know, keep your shirt on, you know, because we just can't do it, you know. And besides, no one will see it. And he looked at me and he said, my son will see it.
Oh.
And I went, okay. And again, it is more painful, actually, to get it off, way more painful than to get it put on. So, and by God, he went through that whole treatment to erase it because he didn't want his kid to see.
What do you think about tattoos in general? A lot of people have them now, butterflies and their wives' names. And would you ever consider having a tattoo?
No. I don't really care. It doesn't make any difference to me. You know, and my interest is even with kids with gang tattoos. We offer it. We, you know, if a kid comes in and I see the three dots, which indicates gang allegiance, and I'll say, have you ever thought of getting that removed? No, I don't want to, you know. So I go, well, we have that available. And I noticed it. So if I noticed it, every future employer for the rest of your life will notice it. And he may shake your hand and say, we'll call you. And then he might file your application in the trash can. But it's up to you. And that's kind of the whole thing at Homeboy, too, is people have to be ready for whatever moment. And in recovery, they always say it takes what it takes. And that's the same for tattoo removal. When that time comes, it'll come.
You've been through a lot in the years that you've been doing this. You've kept track, haven't you, of the gang-related burials you've done?
Yeah. Tomorrow, I will bury my 185th, a kid named Angel.
Wow.
Who was just barely 21 years old. And I knew him for, oh, I don't know, maybe 15 years, since he was a tiny kid. He just got out of jail on a Wednesday, and then came to see me on a Friday, and he was shot and killed the next day. And I keep track only because, you know, they matter to me, and I kind of, I don't know. You know, as I'm thinking about what I'll say tomorrow, you know, he's a kid who never had a home in all the years I knew him. Occasionally, he'd have a roof, but he never had a home. And for people who think, well, he had a choice, I said, yeah, you know, not all choices are created equal. You know, I grew up in this city, and I had a home. I always had a home and amazing parents and wonderful siblings, and I always had a home. And this kid just never had a home. And what happens when you don't? And as damaged, as traumatized, as beaten up as you could ever imagine. The other day I was with the sound off. I was watching, the TV was on, and I saw a commercial for kind of distressed, abandoned, tortured animals. And they had these pictures of these really sad-looking dogs and cats. And they would put the name of the dog and the cat. And then next to the name on the screen would come lines like abandoned and tortured. And another animal locked up for most of its life, heartbroken and abused. And, you know, every single part of that script used for these puppies and cats is what you could have said about this kid Angel, all his life, locked up, all his life abandoned, abused, and tortured, and left for dead. That was his life. And people might say, well, pets are innocent. I go, so was this kid. And he was damaged beyond my ability to express it, really.
That's the worst of it. The best, still, the hope that you occasionally see when a gang member comes to you looking for the next step?
Oh, yeah. I mean, again, it represents a sense of courage that is astounding, really. And a holiness that is, I'm humbled always to kind of be in their presence. I had a reporter ask me the other day, you know, how's it feel to have saved thousands of lives? And I go, I don't even know what you're talking about. All I know is my life gets saved every day I'm there. You know, when I'm in need patience, you know, the homies rescue me from my impatience. And when I'm lacking courage, you know, they save me from my cowardice. And this is a daily thing. That's all I know, is that somehow I've been saved in their presence. And that's sort of the way it's supposed to work, I think. That it's supposed to be exquisitely mutual. And that's certainly been my experience.
Father Gregory's book about Homeboy Industries is called Tattoos on the Heart.